My name is Josh Strickman. I'm Executive Director of the Balanced Policy Center. After this, if you'd like a copy of the presentation, I put a few stacked up here on the table. My presentation today is on the U.S. gun industry, what the reality is today, how we got there, and sort of a cook's tour of the gun industry. So I'll try and go through it quickly.
Can we just fix that for one second?
Oh, sure. So...
Full screen.
Right in front of me?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. And to advance, okay. Guns are the last consumer product not regulated for health and safety in the U.S. Right now, the bottom line is if you make a gun that's 50 caliber or less and is not fully automatic, you can basically make anything you want. Within the confines of the National Firearms Act, which includes things like smooth bore weapons, short barrels. So basically, if it's a over 18 inches, it's semi-automatic, you can make anything you want. So what I'm going to look at is how has the industry exploited this unique niche it has among consumer products. The backdrop for all of this is ongoing decreasing gun ownership in the U.S. This is just a chart from the General Social Survey conducted by NORC, looking from the 1970s to today. And you can see the lines. One is household gun ownership on the top, and the second is personal gun ownership. I'm not going to run through these numbers, but household gun ownership dropped from 50.8% in 1980 to 32.3% in 2010, the lowest level ever recorded by the GSS. Personal gun ownership, same thing. From a high of 30.7% in 1985 to 20.8% in 2010, once again, the lowest level ever reported by the GSS. Now, this is not a secret in the gun industry. When they talk to the press, when they talk to the general public, there's a lot of chest thumping. America's a gun nation. Everybody's buying a gun. Thank you, President Obama. You're our best salesman. But when they talk amongst themselves, it's a very different discussion. They know that gun ownership is declining. Kids aren't picking up guns. The attempts to reach out to women have failed. And this is an ad from a publication called Shotgun News, which I brought here, which I'll pass around and take a look. I'll come up later in the presentation. For a new TV show on cable, hosted by Bo Turner, Ted Turner's son. And the goal of this is to introduce kids to guns. And the quote in the bottom is to save the American sportsman from extinction. And apparently the future is chubby white children for the gun industry. But once again, talking amongst themselves, they're very open about it. In its effort to resell the primary market, which is essentially white males who are getting older, they're dying off, no one's replacing them, kind of like tobacco, there's been a focus on firepower and capacity. What does this mean? Higher caliber, larger bullets, increased capacity, more bullets, and semi-auto mechanism, which fires them faster. Basically, a semi-auto gun, you pull the trigger, it fires a bullet, as long as you have bullets in the weapon itself. So basically, so long sporting use, and Elmer Fudd, and welcome to militarization. This is an ad from Vulcan Armament. It's a theme you'll see in many of the slides that I'll be showing you. And I'm going to look at basically three sort of key changes that we've seen in the industry that led us to where we are today. The first is in the 1980s, higher capacity semi-auto pistols supplanted revolvers as sort of America's handgun. You can see that the revolver is the purple line, peaks in about the early 1980s. And you can see pistols are the blue, they cross and hit a peak in the early 1990s, but still, America's gun today is a semi-auto pistol and not a revolver which had 6 shots versus 10, 20, 21 shots for a semi-auto pistol. The second, introduction of semi-automatic assault weapons, basically semi-auto versions of military-style firearms. I'm going to start at the beginning, which is the assassination attempt of Ronald Reagan. While a majority of Americans were fascinated and terrified at the vision, the image of the president being shot, A significant portion of the gun industry and gun owners were fascinated by the weapon pulled out by the Secret Service, an Uzi fully automatic machine gun. But that began the mystique of the assault weapon in America. Which brings to this day, we have on the other side Anders Breivik, who was the shooter in Norway, who killed numerous children at a holiday camp. The gun he used was a Ruger American-made Mini 14 outfitted as an assault weapon. And the common theme for both of these, the common point, is a lethal combination. High-capacity ammunition magazines and semi-auto firearms. The gun on the right is a Glock outfitted with a 33-round magazine, which is similar to the gun used in the attack on Representative Gabriel Giffords earlier this year in Arizona. Basically, that's the gun that was used. On the left is an ad from Shotgun News. And I'm going to just pass this out and just take a look. This is just one of these at my office on the way out. We get it every week. And Shotgun News is sort of the Sears catalog of firearms in America. It's made for dealers, but a lot of private citizens buy it. It's kind of like when you get Consumer Reports to buy your car to get the wholesale price. That's the role played by Shotgun News. And so what defines the industry today, as far as handguns, concealability, capacity, and caliber, the three deadly C's, as my colleague Tom Diaz calls them in his book, Making a Killing Business of Guns in America, and they're targeted two more, and that's concealed carry. And these are just literally Gun World covers that we have in the office. I just picked them up in the past 8 or 9 months. I didn't pick any special ones out. I just grabbed what was on the shelf. And if you look at it, you can see pistols. Some of them have the magazines right next to them, high-capacity magazines. And you can't really see it as well here, but there's a undercurrent of beyond self-defense. One is bad to the bone, and that sort of theme continues. High-capacity ammunition magazines, probably the most striking thing to do is they facilitate mass shootings. I'm not going to go through every shooting here. I just include this is something we developed after the shooting in Arizona. And also a recent trend is mass shootings committed by concealed carry license permit holders. The recent shooting in Texas at the roller rink was committed by a CCW holder. But this is just a couple pages. This is on our website. So the industry has embraced militarization in their design, production, and marketing. And as Rosanna mentioned, it's not your grandfather's or your father's hunting weapon being sold today. And the bottom line is anyone with a credit card and a relatively clean record can build their own army with guns sold in the U.S. civilian market. To paraphrase a quote attributed to Willie Sutton, why do people go to the U.S. to come to the U.S.? Because that's where the guns are. That's why the Mexicans come here. That's why domestic militias shop here. But it's a unique market in the world. Militarization drives advertising. On the left is an ad for the FN-57, which makes a direct link built for them, built for you. On the right, an ad from Beretta. The one on the left, the ad, security is more critical than ever, no matter how you define the word home. Iraq, Afghanistan, your living room. And on the right is an ad from, I think, Benelli, which says, let the revolution begin. Ostensibly a revolution in gun design, but playing to themes that go beyond just manufacture. I'm going to look at three trends that we're seeing today in the gun industry. The first is actual weapons of war that you can buy here on the U.S. market. Most notable is the Barrett 50 caliber sniper rifle. It was developed for the military. It can down jetliners on takeoff and landing. It accurate to a mile away. It can penetrate armor plating. It can disable military vehicles. It's basically the poor man's rocket. On the left is one of the guns used in Iraq by our armed forces. And here at home, it can use by anybody who's over the age of 18 with a clean record. Except in California, where they banned them. And so kudos to Billy and your colleagues in California. A family at home with their 50 caliber sniper rifle. The second example of actual military weapons is the FN-57. It was designed as an armor-piercing gun to penetrate personal body armor worn by military troops. It's the same gun that was used by Nadil Hassan in his attack at Fort Hood, left 13 dead and 34 wounded. It's a very popular gun with the Mexican drug traffickers, like the 50 caliber. I just put an ad in on the right because no matter what the gun is, you can always try and sell it to women. And this is an ad from FN, the Ladies' Home Companion, for the exact same gun. So you can be safe and feminine with your nail polish. The second group is semi-auto versions of military firearms. And I want to stress, these aren't things I found, you know, deep buried in websites or you can't find them. These are catalogs. These are catalogs, websites, very common. For every manufacturer I'm showing you, there are 6, 7, 10, 12, 20 behind them selling the exact same gun. So these are just AK-47 models from Century International Arms. Very popular gun, once again trapped to Mexico, the Wasser, which is an imported gun, is a very popular AK-47. The second is an AR-15 model from Bushmaster, same manufacturer, generic model that was used by the DC snipers. You'll notice on the bottom right there, their newest gun is the Dissipator. And once again, the AR-15 is a very, very, very popular model of gun now. This is the sister gun to the FN-57, the PS-90, the bullpup. It was developed, once again, for the military. This is semi-auto version. There's another FN model beneath it. Once again, the PS-90 is very popular with Mexican traffickers. And just like the handgun you saw earlier, high-capacity munition magazines readily available. I just picked out a couple here. 100 round from Panther Arms, which is an AR manufacturer, and the second, actually I don't remember where I got it from. The latest trend is assault pistols. These are AR-15 assault pistols from Rock River Arms, and actually we've been conducting research for a new study looking at assault pistols, and right now there are at least 24, 29 manufacturers out there putting these products on the market. So ARs, very popular. This is a pistol AK-47, basically all the firepower of an AK-47 rifle in pistol format. This is the Draco. It's imported. Once again, very popular gun with the traffickers. Very popular gun at gun shows. If we had trace data, which we don't have because the TR amendment, which bans release of trace data, I can guarantee you this gun would be a significant rank as far as guns traced to crimes. Of course, you may not want to import, you may want to buy American. This is, I believe, also from Century International Arms, and who are bringing you, and I'll read it here, the first 100% American-made AK. And now we bring you the first 100% American-made AK pistol. You have a little American flag down here. And once again, if you want to go old school, the MAC-10, which was a very famous gun in the 1990s, 1980s, is back and being sold by a company called Masterpiece Arms. And once again, I want to stress, behind every gun you're seeing here, there are plenty, plenty, plenty more. You can get them at discount. This is an ad for JG Sales. One AK-47, $39.95. Two, $379.95. Five or more, $369.95. And on the right is an ad, another company, Atlantic Firearms, and they have Uzis, other assault pistols. It's a vast, vast story. And I guess the point to make, I want to stress, is these are the guns that define the industry today. Your Remingtons, your sort of traditional hunting rifles, they're still sold. But these are guns that are being focused on by the industry. Measure of that, 11 of the top 15 gun manufacturers in the U.S. market assault weapons. Now, the gun industry has a problem. What do you do when you market a gun that is called an assault rifle, is associated with mass shootings, criminal activity? Well, you rebrand it, and you now call it the modern sporting rifle. And this is an effort being undertaken by the National Shooting Sports Foundation, which is the official trade association for the gun industry, unlike the NRA, which is sort of like the unofficial trade association. But the modern sporting rifle is the name they've come up with. You know, the drill used by your father 20 years ago has changed. So has the gun, throw some camo on it, and we'll make believe it's a hunting weapon. Now and then there are spasms of honesty. This is an article from Gun World where they talked about a new Ruger from the factory assault weapon sort of configuration, and they made the point that it's more assault rifle-y in features and appearance, so not everyone has gotten the memo from NSSF yet. Results of militarization. The victims have more holes in them now. The holes are a lot bigger. They facilitate mass shootings, drive-by shootings. There's an increased threat to law enforcement, first responders. There's a terror threat, most notably 50 caliber sniper rifle on infrastructure, transportation, command and control, and there have been federal studies on this. Assault weapons and mass shootings from both sources, both foreign and domestic. And as Rosanna noted, the violence that is fed by these guns across the border in Mexico. As far as public health strategies that would help reduce gun death and injury, nothing new, you all know it. Information gathering to identify the scope of the problem, new trends, the damage inflicted by these products, effective solutions, banning the manufacture and sale of specific types of firearms and accessories such as assault weapons, ammunition magazines, high-cap ammo magazines, mandatory safety standards for firearms, and consumer education to reduce use and to change patterns of use, and also to look at see whether even under Heller you can look at certain categories of handguns that can be banned. Basically, that is my presentation. As I said, there are copies of slides up here on our website, www.vpc.org. We have tons of information on this topic. And then at the end of this, if you want to pick it up, I just put some relevant publications that we have that are easier to find directly related to this topic. Thank you.